morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro. This week, I'm talking about what about failure? I want this program to help you understand how the Bible can be used in your life to lead you to a successful life. That's what the Bible promises. That's why God says He's given us the Bible, is so that we can be successful. But what about failure? And yesterday we saw that on the key night for the disciples to follow Jesus, they started off by declaring, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." That's what Peter said, and then all the other disciples said the same, and yet they failed. So what do we do with failure in the Christian life? Well, let me continue reading the next few verses. We'll begin to see the failure. It says in Matthew 26, verse 36, "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.'" Jesus looked different that night than the disciples had ever seen him before. They're used to Jesus being calm, in charge. When the boat on the Sea of Galilee was about to be knocked over from the waves because the storm was so bad and the disciples are afraid they're about to die, they find Jesus sleeping in the boat. They say, "You know, why are you sleeping? Don't you care? We're about to die." And Jesus, with a word, calms the wind and the waves. But on this night, Jesus, it says, told them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." I don't think that means that Jesus was worried, that Jesus was anxious, that Jesus was troubled in the sense of he didn't know if he could trust God or not, but he's overwhelmed with sorrow. And I'm sure that it visibly showed up. It showed up in how he was talking, walking, carrying himself. He literally was at the point where death was a possibility, were it not for the fact that he was going to go to the cross the next day. You know, if this was any other circumstance or any other person, we would say this person is so sorrowful that it's possible they could die from the amount of or distress, I think is the best word, that they are under. So the disciples see this, and the one thing Jesus asks them to do is stay here and keep watch with me. And you have to remember, Jesus just a couple days earlier talked in the temple courts about his second coming. He said there's going to be a long delay. I'm going to be gone for a while. People are going to be saying, "Here he is." No, there he is. There's going to be false Christs that arise. There's going to be all these events, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes. And, you know, there's going to be a long time until people sort of fall asleep. They stop watching for Jesus to return. They say, he's never coming back. And Jesus says, "Hey, when that happens, know that I will come at an hour you do not know. I will come like a thief in the night. And so you must keep watch, even years into the future, keep watch, waiting, praying, staying focused on following me, on being my disciple, because I will come and you will want to be ready when I come." And he devotes a number of parables to this topic of keeping watch for the long term. And here Jesus asks, "Just keep watch with me tonight while I pray, while I'm in this moment of such intense sorrow." And it says he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" Jesus says. So the disciples are already failing. They're going to fail even more as we move through the text, but they can't even stay awake for 1 hour to pray with Jesus, to stay up with Jesus, to help console him in his great moment of sorrow. So they fail. Now, the point is, if Peter and all the other disciples of Jesus fail, who are we to think that we're not going to fail? We can fail. We will fail. And I think one of the messages here should actually comfort us. As you fail, and I promise, I already know, I may not know who you are, may not know how you failed, but you, if you are a follower of Christ, you have failed. How do I know that? Because even Peter and the other disciples all failed. Disciples of Jesus Christ do fail. Unless you just became a disciple of Jesus Christ earlier this morning and you are a brand new Christian, you have failed in the Christian walk, in following Jesus Christ. And so you should be comforted by this text. This is not an unusual circumstance. You're not the worst disciple of Jesus ever because you failed. No, all disciples of Jesus fail. This is a normal part of the Christian life. We may not be happy about it. We may not like it. You should not want to fail. If you're indifferent, if you don't even care about failure, if it doesn't bother you, then the Bible says that's an indication that you may not actually be a follower of Jesus, despite your outward profession or what you claim about yourself. So failure bothers us, it troubles us, but understand it's a normal part of the Christian life, okay? I think that's the first thing we get from this text. But the text also wants to guide us, to help us to fail less. How can we be prepared to overcome failure? How can we cut down on how often we fail? Because we don't want to fail as we pursue a successful Christian life in following Jesus. Well, the first thing I think this text says about how to avoid failure is understand that you are capable of failure, right? I think the reason that the disciples, or the largest reason, there's more than one, but probably the most significant reason why the disciples all failed on this particular night is because they believed they were incapable of failure. You see, they all said, "We are ready to die with you. We will never disown you." And Jesus had just said, "You're going to do it." They were so confident that they would not fail that they told Jesus, "No, you're wrong. You think we'll fail? No, we will not." And that overconfidence in their ability, that thinking that they would never fail, is what caused them to let their guard down, is what caused them to not humbly seek help, prayer, plea with Jesus, "Please help us not to fail. We know we're weak. We know that we might fail you when the pressure gets up, but we don't want to. Is there anything we can do? Is there any help you can give us?" No, instead, they bragged about their ability. They boasted. They said, "Oh, no, Jesus, we don't have to worry about that. Don't worry about us. We're not going to fail." And when you have that attitude, that's when you're set up for failure. If you're in a marriage and you've been faithful to your spouse for 20 years and you start to think, "Oh, well, I've been a faithful spouse for 20 years. I don't need to worry about temptation being a problem in my marriage. That's no problem for me. I'm beyond falling in that area." Okay, that's when you're not going to take the steps and put the work in and put the prayer in and put the safeguards in place that you need to make sure you continue to be successful. In every area of life, you've got to recognize that you are capable of failure. And it's only when you keep yourself aware of that and remind yourself and humble yourself that you turn to God in prayer, fervent prayer, asking for help. Father, lead us not into temptation. You come to Jesus knowing you are weak and he is strong. You come to Jesus knowing you need his help in your life every day. You come to Jesus saying, "God, what are some other principles in Scripture I can put into my life as safeguards to keep me from falling into sin and dangerous sin and things that will really wreak havoc on my family or my life or my walk?" And so the beginning point of overcoming failure is recognizing that you can fail and humbling yourself. All right, now there's going to be a lot more. I'm only going to be able to introduce this today, but Jesus goes on to say, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." See, watch. You've got to watch, recognizing the danger. You've got to pray. And then he says, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." There's a principle here we need to understand. Jesus is saying something important here about our spirit and about our flesh that we need to be aware of so we understand the dangers we're in with failure. We'll pick up here tomorrow. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.